Just for a quick minute. Lord, how we thank you and we bless you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, fallen world. We thank you for your word. It tells us how to think, where to go, what to do, how to speak, how to live, how to love, how to conduct ourselves. Without your word, we would be lost. We wouldn't have a guide. We wouldn't have a standard. We wouldn't know what to do. So we thank you this morning. Speak to us through your word. We thank you for speaking to our hearts during worship. As we spoke to you heart to heart, now we ask that you speak to our hearts through your word. We love you, Lord. We bless you. And we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we are, Psalms 18, verse 1. Amen. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
So we have a prayer. David is praying after he's been delivered, after he's went through one of the toughest parts of his life. David is praying. Amen.
Amen.
So what you do when things are getting tough, you pray to God. And we pick up the narrative in Psalms 18 and verse 1, first thing he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. So David gives us a model of how and a formula of how we deal with our issues and our problems. When we have the problems, we lift up God bigger than our problems. We recognize who God is. We never stop loving God through the midst of everything that we have to go through. Never stop loving God. When things get tough, when you get the pink slip, when you get laid off, when the relationship is over, you never stop loving God. When there's a birth, when there's a death, you never stop loving God. Amen. Verse 2, he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, the existing one. He says, the existing one is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, and God is my strength. He's the Almighty, in whom I will trust. He's my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Verse 3, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. He recognizes who God is, and then he gets into his issues in verse 4. He said, the sorrows of death surrounded me. I thought I was going to die. Anybody ever been there? You thought this is it. But notice how he lifted up God before he starts talking about what he's going through. What I find out is the more that I pray, the less I complain. The bigger I magnify God, the smaller my problems become. And it's not a denial thing. It's a relationship thing with knowing who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is. Family, I've been asking us for, I guess, the last month or so to add this to our prayer list. Before you start your day, recognize who God is. So when you deal with everything that comes during the course of that day, you already know where you stand with God. I'm trusting God. He's my shield. He's my buckler. He's the horn of my salvation. He's my high tower. He's the existing one, and he's the Almighty. Now I can deal with anything that comes my way today. Even when death surrounds me and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, even when I was afraid, I can still trust God. Verse 5, the sorrows of hell, I felt like I was in hell as it surrounded me. And then the snares of death confronted me. Verse 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried. You should have underlined, you should have called and cried. Sometimes you call on God and then you got to add that cry unto God. When was the last time you called and you cried unto God? Not to your friends, not to somebody else. When was the last time you became real and called and cried unto God because you needed God that much? Then David shows us that God answers prayer. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. You have to understand that God does hear the prayers of the righteous. And what makes us righteous? We talked about it, through the blood of Jesus Christ. We become righteous. So when we pray, we confess our sins, God does hear us. So David gives us a model of prayer. Then we go over to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel gave us a model of prayer in Daniel 9, chapter 3. When you're there, say amen. Daniel 9 and 3. So here we have Daniel. Daniel's doing something that we're doing. We're reading the Word of God. Daniel was reading the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet. So Daniel's reading the book of Jeremiah, and he gets to the place where God reveals to him that that God's people is getting ready to come out of captivity after 70 years. Let me say that again. Daniel's reading the book of Jeremiah. Daniel's reading the Word of God. He sees that God's people is getting ready to come out of captivity, and it's been 70 years. And he says, oh, my God. They're still in bondage. They've been locked up for 70 years, so to speak, in Babylon. And they're still doing the same things that took them there. And he goes immediately into prayer. He's saying the same baggage that took them into bondage. OK, so they were trying to get to the promised land, but because of the sin and the iniquity and the baggage and the bondage, they stayed in Babylon. So God has you here, or your sins have you here, and God wants you over here. All right. 70 years are almost up. They're still here and they're doing the same things. The same baggage that took them into bondage, they're trying to take that same baggage to the promised land. And Daniel goes into prayer immediately, say, God, we need help. Forgive us. It's like for us, if you buy a house and you try and move in, and you do move in, but you have a renter's mentality, it's not going to work too well. Because you don't appreciate what God has for you. It's like if you buy a car and then you put the old tires on the new car. It's not going to work. You lose weight, but you're still wearing the same old clothes. It's not going to look good. You enter into a new relationship and you're still treating the new person like that old joker or jokerette that you kicked to the curb. It's not going to work. It's saying you cannot move forward doing the same things that kept you from God. You can't move to where God wants you and you're still doing the same things that kept you from getting close to God in the first place. So then Daniel goes immediately into prayer. And that's where we pick it up in verse 3. Look at Daniel 9 and 3. Saying, I set my face unto the Lord, God, to seek prayer, supplications, and fastings, and sackcloth and ashes. So immediately, so here we are, we're in a season of prayer. David went into prayer after he had been delivered. Daniel goes into prayer for God's people. He's specifically praying for God's people, which is the church today that we're praying for, that God would open our eyes so we could go, we could see the sin that we're in and move into the place that God wants us. It's like if we read the word. We need to have the same urgency. All right, here we go. Let's try and make it a little bit plainer. Go to Matthew 24. So we read the word. And then we realize, oh, my God, I need to start praying for people right now. I need to start praying for my family and my friends. You kind of find out what's really important. Did I say Matthew 24? Matthew 24 and verse 3. Family, I'm convinced that a lot of the stuff that we are preoccupied with doesn't really mean anything. It's more like a mirage and a distraction. We will spend so much time with the mirage and a distraction, and then we'll forget all about God. So as we read this, I want us to think about, I mean, it's, for example, who won the Dodger game last night? Who cares? At the end of the day, when you're on your deathbed, you're not going to worry about that the Dodgers beat the Cubs. You're not going to worry about who won the World Series in 2016. You're not. When we're at the end of the day, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to worry about who's the tightest rapper out there. When I'm dying going, oh man, I wonder who's the tightest rapper right now. It ain't going to matter. Man, I knew I should have got that. Should have got me another car. You're not going to worry. You're not worried about that. I never got to buy a house. Well, God has in his house are many mansions. He's a reaper. You're not going to be worried about that stuff. You're going to be worried about, where do I spend eternity? Is my family saved? Are they going to die and go to hell, or are they going to die and go to heaven? So Daniel read the word and just went into immediate prayer. And then we read a passage like this in Matthew 24 and verse 3. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and at the end and of the end of the world? Oh, they got deep with Jesus, didn't they? Tell us what's important. Tell us, when shall these things come? And Jesus, at verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed, listen up, that nobody deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Was a guy in Florida who, believe it or not, a guy in Florida who claimed to be Jesus Christ in the flesh, had a church and had tons of people following him. And to the word that I've read, Jesus has never been married. This cat had about 5 wives and thousands of people following him. Folks, you don't have to make this stuff up, but it's already been written. Tell me when the sign of the end of the world is coming. Jesus said, it's going to be a lot of foolishness out there, but don't be deceived. I'm telling you right now. Okay. Verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Okay. And this talked about wars. And it goes to say nation against nation, but it talks about wars against country and country. But when you break down the Greek, it even talked about individual wars, like people killing people, like kids killing their parents and parents killing their kids, and gangs and drugs and the hood. All this is interpreted. You're going to hear about all this kind of stuff. If you don't believe me, watch the news tonight. You're going to hear all about it. But see that you not be troubled. Don't trip on that. For all these things must come to pass but the end is not yet. So family, people say, well, you know, the Bible got so many errors. It got this, it got that. But here we go right here. How would God know this? This thing was written, we know, at least 2016 years ago, because Jesus Christ split time in half. How would he know that all this was going on? That it all would be going on like it is today? Unless he was telling us from a God point of view. Because God is outside of time. God has already seen this whole thing from the beginning and the end. He's the first, he's the last, he's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. That's why when we get close to God, he can reveal what he has for our life, because he's already seen it. And the further we get away from God, we'll never see what he has for us. And we'll live a frustrated and deceived life. He's already seen it, so he's saying these things, but don't trip on that, because this stuff has to come to pass. Verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation. And when you break down that word in the Greek, it talks about race and ethnicity. And black against white and black against brown. Man, it sounds like the news today. Verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. Hard to believe. As much food as we waste, as much food as we're going to waste today after service. Hey, man, we could feed all of Africa, just this congregation alone. It's hard to believe that there's famines, but there are. And pestilences and diseases. They got some new stuff they just found. I can't keep up, from Ebola to bird flu to this, that, or the other. And the purpose and purity class, where we teach our youngsters about being pure, we broke down all the STDs to them. And syphilis and gonorrhea and herpes and AIDS and HIV and HPV. And I'm going to tell you, you say, Pastor, you shouldn't talk about that stuff to the kids. Were they talking about it at school? We're going to talk about it in church. Amen. I'm not going to send my young men and young ladies to school with saying, well, God is good, God is great. Okay, yes, they can say that, but they're going to know that if you sleep with that joker who's sleeping around with everybody else, you might get something you can't get rid of. And when I see you 10 years from now, I'm going to say, did Pastor lie to you? No, Pastor, thank you for being straight up. But I chose to make some poor choices, not because I wasn't taught. I'm not going to have our kids going out there in the blind to these high schools. And how many of y'all have kids? How many of you ever seen a kid? How many of your kid is in high school? You had a kid that's gone through high school. How many of you have a kid that's going to go through high school in the next couple of years? Okay. And these days, they start in middle school. They start in middle school. Oh, and you better be careful, because some of them start in elementary school. And you don't believe me, ask some of the teachers in here. We've got quite a few educators in here. Trust me, they will get busy in elementary school. Yes, Mama, I do know. But we ain't going to bring that up right now, Mama, okay? You see why Mom only comes to church every now and then, okay? I can't have Mama telling all my business. We're not going to bring that up right now, Mama, okay? Y'all know I ain't going to never get through this message, amen? Verse 7. For nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and diseases and earthquakes in different places. Jesus said all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Man. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. If you don't believe the spirit of Antichrist is in the world today, just look around. And we're not being persecuted like our Christian brothers and sisters over in the Middle East, but they are being killed and delivered up. They have one lady who's in Pakistan, in the Christian part of Pakistan, and I don't have to make this up. You can do the research. And she had offered some ladies some water, but she's a Christian and they're a Muslim. And they said that she was unclean because she's a Christian. And she's being tried for blasphemy. And over there, they don't play. And so she's before the Supreme Court now of Pakistan to see if she's going to be killed because she's a Christian, because she won't deny her faith. So we're not facing that type of persecution. We have it somewhat easy, although it's getting a little warm over here in America. Nobody wants to. It used to be popular, or it used to be okay to be a Christian. Now you look like an idiot if you want to pray before your food, or you want to talk about Jesus Christ, and they want to take God out of everything. Don't want the churches to talk about certain topics because it's hate speech, but it's the word of God. But Jesus said, don't trip. It's just the beginning. But I don't want you to be ignorant. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because of sin, and because sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It just won't love like we should. Verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. God is saying, stay close to God. Don't get deceived to the end. Don't fall apart. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. It's just the beginning. Jesus, tell us when the world is coming to end. He told him, but he said, don't lose hope. He's telling us. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. So we read something like this, just like Daniel read, and he went right into prayer. We read something like this and go, oh, my God, what about my family? What about my friends? I need to go into prayer right away. I need to start praying for all those that I love, that they don't get deceived and all this stuff that's going on now, that's happening, that God said would happen, that Jesus said would happen, is just the beginning of sorrows. So as Daniel read and went into prayer, we read something like this and we go into prayer, or we read something like, turn to Revelation 20 and verse 11. So family, as we continue in a season of prayer, you just got to know how serious this is. And a lot of the distractions and the temptations and the frustrations, they're going to come. We can't do anything about that, but we got to stay close to God. Jesus said, just stay close to me. We got to stay close to God in these times. That's already been foretold. We got to be praying. We got to be loving. We got to be forgiving. Then we read something like this and we go right into prayer because we realize, man, that's a Revelation 20, 11. Yes. And then I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Somebody highlight that. That's why in Matthew, he said the gospel is going to be preached to everyone in the world, because God is fair. You're not going to stand before God and say, well, I didn't know. I was in a little corner in China or Bangladesh and I never heard the gospel. No, that's not true. He said, before the end comes, everybody's going to have a chance because God is fair. God is not out to get us. That's too easy. He could have did that a long time ago. Somebody say amen. Growing up in L.A., Long Beach, Compton, Watts, or anywhere, any big city, Chicago, any small city, from a kid, things that we had no idea could have killed us, and we did, and would, by the grace of God. If God was out to get us, that's too easy. So people want to say, well, what about, don't worry about that. Right. Just worry about, are you right with God? It's too easy if God wants to get us. And he said, in verse 12, I saw the dead, great, small and great, stand before God. Nobody gets away with nothing. I don't care how you got it going on in this life and this, you're going to stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I don't know anybody in their right mind want to be judged according to what they've done in this world. I don't know anybody in their right mind. Like, I'll take my chances. Would you? Do you really? Good luck with that. And the sea gave up their dead, which were in it, and death and hell delivered up their dead, which were in them, and they were judged, every man, and that's mankind, man, woman, boy, and girl, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we read something like this and we go, oh my God, I need to start praying. So people don't get deceived and get cast into the lake of fire, thinking that life is some game or some joke and that is not consequences to everything that we do. And if they're not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, then they're going to stand before God and be sentenced to the lake of fire. See, family, everything that we do, we have to test it against the word of God. There are some things you can do yourself, but you and I, we can't save ourselves. That's not one that we can do. We can't make ourselves righteous, because when we come off the assembly line, we are defective. It's like a car that comes off the assembly line. And some of you got those. How many of you have a car? How many of you ever seen a car? Okay. All right. And you get the recall notice because your car is jacked up. They didn't do something right in the production line. So they need all the cars back, even if it's a million of them. Volkswagen just had a huge one. I need that car because when it came off the production line, it was defective. So here we go. We come off the production line. I don't care how good we want to be and how good we are. Off the production line, we're defective. And then Jesus Christ issues the recall notice and say, you got to go through me to get right. You ain't going to never do it on your own. You better come through here to get right. Otherwise, when you stand before God, you go into the lake of fire. Not because of anything that you did, because you can't work for it and you can't lose it, but because when you came off the production line, it was faulty. And that's each and every one of us. Well, Pastor, I give to the poor. I help old ladies across the street. I don't sin anymore. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I'm nice to everybody. I treat my wife right. But you came off the assembly line, the production line, defective. It doesn't matter. Well, how could they be saved? Do you see what they did? They killed somebody. They hurt somebody. So somebody can kill somebody, go to jail, ask God for forgiveness, and get saved. Yeah, because they came off the production line of defective. And they asked God to forgive them, and their sins were forgiven. Because it's not about what we do. It's about what Christ has already done. So we come off that production line defective, and we need a savior. There are some projects around the house that you can do it yourself, but this is not one of them. You can't do this yourself. All right, so let's go back to Daniel chapter 9. And we'll wrap this thing up. 9 and 16. And then Daniel, he goes into immediate prayer. Men, it's nothing cowardly about praying. Actually, it's courageous. Men, it's nothing cowardly about praying. It's actually courageous. And then when you can discipline yourself to get up every morning, even if it's just for 5 minutes a day, to pray for your family and pray for your direction and pray to God, that's probably the most courageous and disciplined thing you'll ever do in your life. There's nothing cowardly about it. We learn that from the heroes of faith and from the sheroes of faith as well. And we'll talk about some of the ladies committed to prayer. The Bible's filled with them. Men and women that were flawed just like us, but because of what God has done, his grace allowed them to make a difference for the kingdom of God, which is what our desire is as well. So we pick it up. Did I say Daniel 9 and 16? Did I say that?
Yes.
You there, say amen. Amen. It says, O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I beseech you. See, here it is again. It's not because of how great Daniel was. It's because of the righteousness of God. It's not because of us, but because of God's righteousness and how Jesus Christ died for our sin that makes us righteous, we can go to God. And he said, I beseech, and that word beseech means beg. He read something like we just read in Mark and what we just read in Revelation. He says, God, I got to beg you now. First I was praying, but now I got to beg you, Lord. When was the last time you begged God on behalf of your family, your kids, your grandkids, your parents? When was the last time you begged God on behalf of your marriage, your spouse? When was the last time you just really got transparent and begged God on behalf of your spouse, your marriage, your singleness, your kids? I tell you, the more I pray, the less I complain. We talked about the Lord's Prayer a couple of weeks ago and how transparent Jesus told us to be. He said, go in your closet and shut the door, and it's you and God, and come clean. That's a tough one because it's an exchange of wills, my will for God's will. And I still want to do what I'm doing. I don't want to say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done, because I really don't want it right now. God, I got a few things I'm working on. And if you make those happen, then maybe I'll exchange my will for yours. God said it doesn't work that way. You need to exchange your will right now and give it to me, and I'll take it from here. Verse 16, oh Lord, according to all your righteousness, I'm begging you, let your anger and fury be turned away from this city. And since he's talking to his people, it would be this church or your Christians, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Men, you underline that line. If we don't show our kids how to live, they won't know. And we can tell them, but they're watching us. So he's praying, God, I'm begging you that you forgive us of our sins and even what our fathers did. And your people have become a disgrace to all that's about. Oh, my gosh, your church. America has become a disgrace. We turned our back on God. Look at us now, God. Look what's going on. We've turned, I'm begging you, if we just look what's going on, we'll see that when we lift up the hood, we become a disgrace because we refuse to humble ourselves before God. Verse 17 says, now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of your servant. If you haven't underlined that, underline it now. God, hear my prayer. Family, if you don't get anything else out of this service, understand that when you humble yourself, you confess your sins, and you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, that when you pray, God hears your prayer. Remember, it's the answer could be yes, no, not now, wait, and as our parents used to tell us, sit down and be quiet. Or go to bed early. Mom, thank you. That's the answer to prayer. Because God knows what's best for us. He's not going to answer a prayer that you can't handle. Some things we're praying for and we can't handle. And then some things we're praying for and it's not going to put us in the place where God wants us to be. So God's not going to give you a yes to that. You're not ready. If God gave you what you were praying for right now and you think you're ready, you're not ready for it. Otherwise, you'll have it. Right where you are is right where God wants you. Right where we are is that. And so, God, let me embrace where I am. Let me learn what you're teaching me. And then let me move forward, Lord, in your time. All right. So we're going to close it up right here. Verse 17, now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and my begging, my supplications, and cause your face to shine. Underline that. Lord, cause your face to shine. Bless this sanctuary. Bless your people, Lord, that are falling apart for your sake. And the rest we got to pick up next week. So if you would, just bow your head for a moment as we just close out in prayer. And as God has called us to a season of prayer, Lord, as we understand, as you've revealed to us how the motto and off the production line is defective, just kind of explains why we try and do it ourselves, but it just doesn't work because we came off the production line defective. And Jesus Christ issues the recall, says he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. So, Lord, in order for us to be righteous, in order for us to get reconnected to you, we have to go through Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for making it plain. We have to be humble. We have to be surrendered. This is not a do-it-yourself project. It's a surrender and let God work through us. So I'm praying now. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never sensed the urgency. I've never sensed the need to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. But this morning, I realize I need to go ahead and get saved. I need to give my heart and life. It's been a long time, but I need to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. It's not to put you on the spot. It's not so everybody can see that you don't have it together, because none of us have it together. Amen. But it's between you and God, saying, Lord, I need you today more than ever. And I want to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. Been kind of out doing my own thing, and I was connected, but now I'm disconnected, and I need to get reconnected to God. Especially in these times, especially after reading how God has already said these things must come to pass. Why? Because God knows everything. I don't want to be fooling around and miss God and miss what God has for me. I need to get reconnected. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. If you're here, maybe you're looking for a church home. You've been visiting and say, Pastor, I want to come aboard and be a part of South Bay Abundant Life Church. I know you're not members. You are members, but you're more family. We're so thankful for family and friends. And we think here at South Bay, we are both. If that's you, elevate your hand. You're looking for a church home. I'm going to ask Jackie's daughter. I'm going to ask Brother Casey to come on up front. Want to pray with you. If you would, just stand right here and just grab hands right here. Grab them. Thank you. And I'm going to ask some of my family members, as we do, just to surround them. And have you accepted Christ before? Is it rededication? Okay. And Brother Casey, rededication. We're so thankful how God set up this Friends and Family Day for friends and family and for all of us. They stand here for rededication. I want us all just to examine our hearts, as we all, in every day, you should be rededicating your life to God. Every day you wake up, you should say, Lord, thank you for giving me another chance. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Thank you for cleansing me, Lord. I want to live righteously today, Lord. I want to live right. And if I fall, I'm going to get right back up. And I'm going to keep moving, because I know it's not about me working for it. You've already done the work. So every day we should be rededicating. So that's my prayer for these two, and then for all of us. So as we pray for them, thank you, Lord, for the young lady here, for Jackie's daughter. Thank you for Casey. Thank you, Lord, for touching their hearts, Lord. Saying, I want to get reconnected to God. How you revealed yourself, not only to them, but all of us. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the power of your word. God, is too much going on in the world today not to be connected to God. So I'm praying for them, Lord, that you would cover them. You would keep them, Lord. You would confirm your presence in their life this week, Lord. Let them know how real you are. Send laborers into their life. Send people into their life to confirm this decision this morning, that God is real, and that the deception and the spiritual warfare is real. Praying that you cover them, you keep them, that they don't get caught up. Praying for Casey's son, as he's the being the dad that you called him to be. Praying that his son will be covered. That his son would see the motto in dad, of a godly dad, of a godly man. Praying for all our youth, Lord. to cover and keep our youth as they're at school and elementary, middle, and high school. We know the enemy, if he can get them at an early age, he'll have them struggling for the rest of their life. So we're praying that you cover and you keep our kids. Praying for dads, Lord, that we would be the men you've called us to be. That we'll cover our sons and daughters. We'll pray for them. We'll beg you, Lord. We'll beg you on behalf of our marriages, on behalf of our kids, on behalf of our spouses, on behalf of our church. So we thank you, Lord. Your word says that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ, which walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for reconnecting us all to you. Thank you for this church that your presence is here and that it sets the atmosphere for us to be reconnected to God, to worship God, to learn about God, to love God, and to walk with each other through it. So we bless you, Lord. We love you. Cover and keep us for the rest of this day, week, for the remainder of our lives. We need you today more than ever. Bless you for these two. Bless you for all those that are here. Pray a special blessing on their life. Let them walk in power and strength of the Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet.
Thank you, Brother Casey.
Bless you. Give someone a hug and you are dismissed.